One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be,
Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he.
The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree.
Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he.
The hands that heal nations, stretched out on a tree, took the nails from me.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore.
Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
One day the trumpet will sound for his coming.
One day the skies with his glories will shine.
Wonderful day my beloved one is bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
Going to endeavor to turn this mic on Brian from the beginning of the message tonight. Nothing to reference to Pastor, but we're going to turn that on from the beginning tonight and see how that goes. Anyways, thankful you are here tonight. Thankful you are in the Lord's house tonight. Have a couple things to show you quick and a couple things to do here just before we get into what I want to share tonight. I'm thankful for those that we had opportunity to go over and pick up from camp on Friday. Friday was, of course, July 26th, which meant it was my wife and I anniversary. And guess what we did on our anniversary? Rode back from camp with junior hires. That was one of my dream anniversaries. 11th anniversary. Happy anniversary. They were great. We had a blast, though, didn't we? Okay, well, they did. Anyways, no, we had a good time. Thankful that we could go over and we had a chance to celebrate a little earlier on because we knew what was coming. So thankful for that. They are back, though, and thankful for their opportunity to be at camp. And we got to sit in on the chapel service on Thursday night. And so that was a blessing to be there. I knew the guy that was speaking this last week. And so excited about that. But anybody that was there, and I think we have potentially three of the five we took over here tonight. Anybody have a testimony or something they want to share, something they want to say quick? You don't have to preach a message. You can share something you liked, a verse you heard, something that was great, or you can stare at me. That works too. Anybody? I think who else do we have? Yeah. Okay, well, we'll go with that. They had I saw some good things, so we will go with that. Ask them on a personal level, and we will work on that next time around. Though next time we do this, I was thinking, man, next van ride I have back, I'm going to prep them, and everybody's going to share something, and it's going to be good. So, anyways, they're looking forward to that on a future time. I'm going to grab my Bible tonight, and if you would turn with me tonight. First of all, this has nothing to do with the message tonight. We have a hand from the audience.
Jeff told me in class today that there was around 10 children that got saved at camp.
Praise the Lord. I didn't hear that, and so I'm excited for that. 10 kids. Well, awesome. That's great. Thank you. That's okay. You're all good.
You figured that you're going to ask them to speak, so he hightailed it out to this class.
That's a good call there. Good work, Jeff. Everybody was allowed to leave except him. No, he's good. Very good. Well, that's great. Great testimony. 10 young people saved this last week. So excited about that. Thankful for ministry of camp. It can be an exciting thing for young people. And it was an exciting time in my life. I got to go to camp. I got to do camps. I got to Titus's first time at camp ever when he was a camper was our RV was parked next to his cabin. So I'm not sure that that's quite camp. But anyways, we let him be and we it was hard as parents to stand there and he'd be marching across with his cabin and he's like, we're watching him from the window. I don't know if that's what every kid wants to do when they go to camp, have their parents watching them. But anyways, good memories there. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 26:2. I've got a sneaky suspicion in your entire Christian life you've never turned here. 1 Chronicles 26:2. I'm going to do something quick tonight before I get started into what I want to share. And this is it. I'm going to set some of you at ease, and it's going to be a great thing, hopefully. 1 Chronicles 26:2, you're going to look down through this verse once you get there and say, are we really talking about this tonight? This will be one long night. 1 Chronicles 26:2, and you're going to look down through the verse quickly, and you're going to see something in there you may or may not recognize. I say that because my name is in that verse, 1 Chronicles 26:2, and I thought, you know what, next time I have a chance to speak, I'm going to square this up once and for all. Anybody that can't pronounce my name, I'm going to make it easier on them, and if they can't, well, I got a solution for that too. So, but that is my name in the Bible, 1 Chronicles 26:2. You can see it down there, Jathniel, see the fourth son, Jathniel. We could all read that corporately together. I don't think we'll do that tonight. But first, 1 Chronicles 26:2, Jethniel, my parents changed the A to an E, so that's where Jethniel comes from. Be thankful I say it Jethniel, because we asked the guy that was here for the Passover Seder service, if you remember back on April 28th, and he gave it to us in a Hebrew way, and just believe me, this is easier. I can't do what he did, but Yathniel or something like that. I think we'll stick to the English version. But anyways, so for those of you that haven't quite mastered it yet, I figured that I would do this for you. It's up on the board. Here's what I'm going to do, though. If you split it in half, it makes it easier. Georgette, this is especially for you. Yeah, I knew that you would love this. So if you split it in half, it makes it easier. Jeff Neal. Now, you will notice that there is a TH, not an FF, okay? So it's not Jeff Neal. It's Jeff Neal. I remember talking to Pastor Lynn when he first heard from Roger Dick. Pastor Lynn, you remember that, and you were trying to figure out, or you knew my name, but he didn't, or something like that. Anyways, so if you just get the J-E-T-H, Jeff Neal, you getting it, Georgia? We good? Okay. Jeff Neal, and you just get that just like that. That just works as easy as anything once you split it in half. I've often thought about writing my name with a hyphen, and then you look like an Olympic runner or something like that, and I don't think I'm going to do that. But anyways, if that makes sense. I've had lots of people, if you can't get my full name and you just want to use my first initial, J, and just say Pastor J, you can do that. That's perfectly fine by me. I've had that done lots of times. Young people, if you're good with that, I'm fine. It doesn't offend me. But if you're very, very brave, then do it the other way. But I thought I would straighten that out once and for all. And maybe you're more confused now than you were before. Anyways, would you turn with me tonight to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24? Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28 tonight to get started. Acts 20 and verse number 28. I'm going to share something tonight like I mentioned in the bulletin and mentioned earlier about what is 3E. Some of you have seen the logo or heard it about the name for youth group. And I'm going to explain a little bit of this tonight and some of my burden and philosophy about that. Many I know of the teen parents are here tonight. Many of the adults, what I trust, enjoy hearing this. And so we're going to do this tonight and then do it on a little more focused way. I'll share that a little bit later in a little more focused way a little bit later on. But would you read with me tonight? And we're just going to go a number of different places trying to get this across tonight. So Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, Bible says this: "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you," the next word is "overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." That's what we were singing about tonight. They sang about a little bit ago about how we're justified freely forever. He has purchased us with his own blood. But let's go back up to the earlier part in there where it says the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. The idea of overseer is the idea, and the word pastor has many different meanings, and if you've been in our Sunday school class, but it's used many different ways in Bible: shepherd, overseer. The word bishop is also used. So the idea there is the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Now, we all know pastor's not here tonight, but that is his responsibility and his calling here at this church is to be the shepherd, the overseer of the flock that's here, that's gathered together. Now, as being the youth pastor and in charge of music pastor, I have a special opportunity to lead in a couple different areas there, but one of those, very much the same idea, the Holy Ghost hath made you an overseer to feed the church of God, and we're going to put that in, and I'm happy to preach in opportunities like I have tonight, but in a more specific way to the young people and the youth of this church, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. Now, let's stop and think for just a moment. Pastor has responsibilities in this church, things that are part of his daily week, and I'm here with him many times, or almost every day throughout the entire week. We go on visits, different things together. He plans, prepares, preaches, counsels, oversees, shepherds, casts a vision. And many of those same things, if you look up a biblical principle here and the biblical structure for this, many of those same things, plan, prepares, preaches, counsels, oversees, shepherds, casts a vision, are the same things that are my desire and should be the job of a youth pastor. And so that's where much of this comes tonight. Somebody shared a definition of a youth pastor is this: to lead and provide vision for youth work by developing, encouraging, equipping, and training its young people in their spiritual development, ministry, and outreach. You and I both know, if you've been around teenagers very long, and teens, you're here, they've heard some of this before. Some of it's new, some of it's fresh, some of it's not. We're going to talk about you for a minute, and you'll have to be fine with that because you're here. But teens are full of questions, and that is a great thing because that's a time in life. How many of you here were once a teenager? Think carefully, and I should be seeing every hand. I'm waiting till every hand goes up. Very good. I'm all about participation. I love it. Most of us at one point were a teenager. How many of you skipped your teenage years? Yeah, that's absolutely nobody here. You might remember back to that time. Life was full of questions because you're at a point in life when you're in a sense of what? Transition. You're in a sense of transition in life. Life is just things are new. I used to be young and do those things. I'm not an adult yet. I'm somewhere in between. Sometimes questions come up. Sometimes teenagers verbalize questions, ask questions, parents ask questions. I remember questions that I asked to my parents, things that I had, concerns that I had. I brought up thoughts. I was constantly asking questions. I don't know why you're still looking at my name back there. Let's see. Let's go past that right there. We'll get to that in just a minute. Now, That's why you're still looking at my name. But anyways, answer lots of questions, lots of different things you're trying to figure out, things you're trying to think through. If you have to stop for just a moment and think, because a lot of us are at a point now as adults in life where some of those things, we got those figured out. Now, we got a lot of questions about life still, but we still, those things that we wondered about back then, we pretty much got figured out at this point in our lives. The answer to those questions, though, is, of course, every answer to everything in life, and this is what we have to remember because we live in a culture that's ever-changing, things that are constantly developing, but we serve a God and we have a Bible that has never changed. I don't know what this country will look like 10 years from now. You don't either. We can take our educated guesses. I do know that what God's Word says will still apply to what's going on. It's not going to change. Nothing's going to change that God didn't. God already knows what things are going to be like 10 years from now. He gave us everything that we need. Sometimes it gets frustrating. We see things happening, things developing, things that we don't. That's just not something that lines up with our beliefs, with our things, with things that we want our young people involved in. Those type of things. God's Word has every answer for every problem, and it always will. Now, turn with me over quickly to Psalm 127:4. We memorized this passage, said it many, many times. I remember, if you can remember back when Merrill's and Weiler's traveled together, somebody asked me today, how many kids were there at its largest point? There were 4 adults and 11 kids. Imagine if you were at a church, which you guys were, actually, and 15 people, 2 RVs pull in and 15 people. If I had a church building, I'd be like, oh, dear Lord, what's going to happen to our building? But 11 kids. Anyways, different topic for a different time. I bless my parents and my uncle, my aunt and uncle for doing it. Now, Psalm 127, look down at verse number 4. A Bible says, as arrows are in the hand of the mighty men, so are children of the youth. And there's many different meanings. There's a lot of different things that this passage is talking about. But if you for simplicity's sake, think with me for just a moment tonight about the arrows. And if you've ever shot an arrow, or if you're an archer, or you go hunting with arrows, the idea of an arrow is absolutely worthless. It can sit on a shelf. It can do anything. It says, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. What do arrows need? They will do nothing unless they have what? They need guidance. They need directed in the right way. A lot of times we have a tough time with that because people fire off. They let things happen. Things go on in their life. You see young people doing things. You think, well, they're growing. We're going to let them go. You know, that is what they'll experience. They'll do these type of things. The Bible says, as arrows are in the hands of the mighty men, so are children of the youth. Guidance is very, very, very important. I know how I was raised. I know how family members, people close to me were raised. We weren't raised with the opportunity to make 100. We had choices in life, a lot of different things going on, but we were guided in the direction that we were supposed to go. And I'm going to tell you honestly, back then, I don't know if I was a huge fan of it. It was just the way that life was, so you have to be fine with that. But looking back at it now, I am so very thankful. Because if I had my own choices and got to do the own things that I wanted to do, there's a good chance I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today, because I needed that guidance, that arrow pointing me in the right direction. If you look at the end of that verse there, children, the word children is referring to what we might say children or teenagers. To not get confused, the word youth is talking about parents of youth. It talks to them back then as youth. There's other places in the Bible where the word youth as used. Be thou example of the believers. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And it goes on through. If I ask you tonight, though, who's the most important youth worker? If we said the number one most important youth worker in this church, you might have an answer that pops into your mind. The number one most important, or the most important youth worker in this church. I've heard this shared many times. I think it's absolutely true. It's not anywhere in this direction. It's actually out there. Parents are the number one most important youth worker in this church. It's the most important possible job that you can have in life. I saw a chart recently of the time of a young person, a teenager's week, divided up. Where do they spend the most time? If you were going to put categories like church, home, school, and we could come up with another activity in there, church is probably not the percentage in that pie chart that those of you that remember a pie chart that gets the biggest chunk. It's probably one of the smaller sections. You cannot expect to let anybody do anything they want to the whole time and come in here for an hour, 2, maybe 3, 4 hours a week, and that's going to revolutionize life. That's not the way that life works. Now, many people have been blessed. I've been to a lot of churches that have bus ministries, strong bus ministries. They've been able to impact lives, impact kids in a very powerful way. But I tell you, it was beyond those 4 hours. It was people personally. Remember when Sean Tice was here talking about some people who took time and invested in him in a more than just a church setting, and it made a big, big difference in his life. So as a youth pastor, as my desire and what I love to do, as the number one youth worker being parents, is to work with young people alongside their parents. That's the number one goal, and that is the only way that this is, generally speaking, done successfully. That being said, we told the youth group a long time ago, but I've heard this often said, you've got a question. If you've got a question, you've got something going on in life, I'd be happy to help you find the answer, but I don't have the answer. But we know whose does. You've got a question, he's got an answer, and I'd be happy to help you find that answer, and let's learn it together. Now, getting to the next screen, and this is going to answer some topics or some questions tonight about this, and this will be super practical tonight, I think, and we'll just run through. If you see logo, what does this stand for, this and that? You may have seen or know of churches that had a name for youth groups, something like that, before. I have some friends, if you're familiar with Paul Chapel or the ministry of West Coast Baptist, I'm sorry, it'd be Lancaster Baptist Church or West Coast Baptist College. That is the name of their youth group there. Pastor friend on the right there, who's a youth pastor, my brother and I went to school with down at Pensacola in Loganville. I don't know if it has the city up there, but Loganville, Georgia. That is, they call their youth group New Life 180. Anyways, I was praying about a philosophy. What is important to me? What matters to me? What is something? And I had this shared with me, and it's a very intriguing thought and something that I hadn't digested as much as I should have, and I dare say something that none of us here have digested as much as we should have. Here's what it is. The most important factor in ministry, think about this, I've been involved in ministry my entire life, literally my entire life. The most important part of ministry is knowing what your philosophy is and practicing it. You say philosophy, that sounds like kind of a boring word. No, I'm talking about, why do you do what you do? Do you know why you come to church? Like, you were told to do that, you were trained to do that. When you teach a Sunday school class, do you have something that's a guiding thought, some verses that you have something based with, that is your motivation why you do that? Or they needed somebody, they asked me, and I'm kind of what they're stuck with. That's not the thing. Parenting, what is our philosophy? What is, I know with my boys, my number one thought constantly is this. These young men, I want to raise them like I was raised, so one day they have a desire in whatever capacity God has for them to serve the Lord. That is my driving force in every day that I wake up when it comes to raising our young people. Now, maybe yours is a little bit different. You have some different desires for them, some different things that you, God's laid on your heart that you want for them. That's my burden for our boys. That's my philosophy. I never really took time, that's what it's always been, but I never took time to think about that until this was shared with me. So I got to digging through and trying to figure out what would be my philosophy, what would be a guiding light. That means when you get off track, when you get sidetracked, you're not sure what's going on, or you're planning something or doing something else, what are you drawing back to that's getting you to a point? Okay, does this, yes, that makes perfect sense, and it's accomplishing our goal. It's accomplishing what the Lord has for us, what the Lord wants us to do. And so I started coming up, and I kept coming back to these three things. And my number one favorite word when working with young people, when we've done vacation Bible schools, when we've done anything, is the last E over there, which is engage, getting people involved in what's going on. See, a lot of times if you have a young person, I've seen this happen many times, and they are, take music lessons, let's say that for instance, and they are practicing, and they practice, and then eventually some of you are one of these people, you played, how many of you took music lessons when you were younger? You took music lessons of some kind, right? Many of us did. A lot of times, though, because somewhere along the line, you never figured out why you were doing that or had a use for it, you kind of just fizzled out and whatever happened. Nobody got you engaged in what was going on. A lot of people ask our family, how did all of you end up doing this and that? We had a place to use it, so we used it. And we didn't have, I mean, I always tell people, they ask, how did you get so much music? Well, everybody else was standing up here doing something. I don't want to sit in the front row, so I'm going to learn to beat or bang or blow on something and get up here and do it too. That's what we did. That's just the motto. That's just what was ingrained into us, and that's the opportunity that we had. So I was thinking about this philosophy, and so we went through, and I ended up building out these three E's, and they make three great points for a message. I had an opportunity to share this prior to coming here at our home church, and one of my friends there, he said, I want to take that. I'm going to use that for a message for seniors. And so I said, have at it. So anyways, those are some examples. Now, I did this the other day when I was explaining this, when we were explaining it to the youth, but there's, follow the ride here, but our youth group's name is going to be announced soon and is There's no more screens. So you've seen a logo before, 3E. So look down this with me. The first E is energize. Look with me tonight. Turn with me to Romans 12 and verse number 11. This is one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, Romans 12 and verse number 11. And we're just going to explain these quickly tonight. I won't keep you too long tonight, but Romans 12 and verse number 11. The Bible says this, Romans 12 and verse number 11. Bible says this, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. There's some great commas there that help us. It's a message right in and of itself, but not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. If I ask you what is slothful, that would be easy for you. Let me click that next screen there. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. If I ask you what is slothful, you might say to hesitate, to be slow. We might use the term slowpoke. If somebody's slothful, it's very easy. You think of the animal that is a sloth, and then it just, that's slothful. It just makes sense. It all comes together for you. Now, the Bible says not slothful, so it would be the opposite of slothful. If I ask you for an opposite tonight, the opposite of short is? The opposite of slow is? The opposite of lazy is? Excited. Energized. Willing to do something, right? There's not like a vanilla chocolate. There's not a super easy answer for that, right? So the idea here of being not slothful, what is the opposite of slothful? Excitement, energy. The Bible says not slothful in business. The matters, the cares, the service, what we're involved in. Bible says, you don't have to turn there tonight, but in Ephesians 6, 7, it's talking to servants. It says, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. Bible says, with goodwill doing service, getting excited, getting energized, getting involved in what's going on. Now, that's to be our attitude, and that's why when I was sharing this earlier, that's to be our attitude in all of life. I hope you were excited to be in church. So I get excited when it's time to come to church. My favorite day of the week is Sunday. Do you know that? Some of you might, oh, Sunday again. That means we're in church for the whole day. Oh, boy. I hope that you're excited to be in the Lord's house. That gets me excited. That gets me energized to wake up on Sunday morning. Titus, are you excited to be in God's house tonight?
Yes.
You better say yes because your father's preaching. Good. That was a good answer, okay? You want to eat supper. Good. Okay. Good deal. Now, let's see here. How many of you love being bored? You raise your hand. I like being bored. I'm fine with that. It's usually not too many people. I have met people that say, yeah, I'm fine with that. You know, just sit around doing nothing, and that's good with me. I am not that type of person. I got to be doing something. I want to be involved. You go on vacation, right? You love it. Things are great for the first few days, and then a couple days in, if you're not super active, you're in the same place for a long time, you're like, man, I got to find something to do or something to keep me occupied. I'm used to going. Generally speaking, we don't like to be bored a lot, right? That would be maybe the opposite, lazy, bored. The opposite of being excited or energized. Anything that I do, I have a desire to make it exciting to do. I sometimes to the point of being crazy, but love to make things exciting and have fun. Titus, do we like to have adventures in life? We have adventures. If I showed you pictures of some of the places and things that we've done, some crazy things. But and anyways, don't tell the grandparents, but that's all right, okay? It's good. They're like, oh, that's a little too close to the edge with those young people. It's going to be fine. We're always having an adventure. How many of you, though, let me ask you this, have grown up, many of you, and this is just a rhetorical question, how many of you have grown up in church? You've literally grown up in church. You've been in church since a very young age. You might have been in church. Titus was in church the Sunday. He was born on a Thursday, and you were in church on Sunday. Yes? How would you remember? Anyways, he was in church. He was on Sunday. The next Monday, we were doing vacation Bible school. We went and joined back up with the family. My wife thought she could do it. That was a bad idea in hindsight. Those of you that have had kids know that that was our first, and we learned after that. But you've been in church for a long time. Many of us have. And you know what? I love the statement that he said today. I don't know if Dr. Calder said it in church or maybe it was in Sunday school, I think it was in church, where he said, there's many people who are living a churchianity instead of a Christianity. A churchianity is something that happens when you're here. Like, I know this system, I've been here for a while, like I come in, I sit down, I wear what they tell me to wear, I sit down, when it's done, I walk out those doors and we go back to life for the rest of the week. Next Sunday, we're going to have to do it again, but listen, I got 6 days until that happens again. A lot of people live the life that way. I hope that's not you. I hope that's not something that we do. I look forward to being in church. Being a Christian is something, though, that's not just in church. It's something we live our entire life. I'd love to share with you sometime. I don't have time tonight, but on a personal level, I've come to the realization recently, if you're a third generation, maybe you're a second generation Christian, but if you are a third or further down the line generation, third, fourth, fifth generation Christian, that is a joy and a special heritage that we have, but there's a danger with it. And I bring that up. I wish I had time to share tonight, maybe in another message another time, but there's something we have to be very, very careful about with that. Now, I get excited about serving God. Colossians 3:23, something we do in our house after every single meal, or before every single meal, we pray and then we memorize a scripture verse. And Titus came home the other night with a good one, and it's Colossians 3:23. Many of you know it, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Get excited about it. Be thankful that you're in church. Be thankful that you get to be involved in what's going on. And so that's the first E there, and that's my desire with the youth, to get them excited, to get them energized, to get them involved in what's going on. Now, second one, first one, E, energize. Second one is equip. Look with me to the second phrase in that Romans 12:11, right? And I am clicking there, and I am very accustomed, and we'll get this set up a little different way in future, to my wife running screens for me, so I don't even pay attention to them. But energize, and then let's see. And then the next one is, look to the second part there, fervent in spirit. That's where the second E comes from, the equip. Now, if I said fervent, that's not a word. If I ask you how many of you used that in your vocabulary this last week, I'm taking a wild guess. You probably didn't put it into your vocabulary. You didn't say that as part of a phrase. Maybe you did. I don't typically use it a lot. Fervent, the word is usually applied to water or to metals, as to be heated, as to bubble or boil. Water is water, right? If I have water, what should I do? Here it is. If I have water, this is just water as it is. If I apply something to it, if I apply heat to it, what happens? It eventually will boil, right? If I apply heat to water, eventually it will boil. If wind comes over water, and let's not think about it in a bottle, but let's think about the ocean. If wind comes over that, what do we end up with? We come up with waves, right? The water is just water, but when it gets heated, it boils. When the waves come over it, when the wind comes over it, then it blows. In spirit, Bible says fervent in spirit. That's in your heart or in your mind. Answer these questions quickly tonight. Reading a book, like or dislike? Let's try again. Reading a book, like or dislike? Flying in an airplane, like or dislike? Eating sushi, like or dislike? You don't know what you're missing out on. Okay, maybe you've tried it and you do know what you're missing out on. Anyways, snow tubing, like or dislike? For some of you, that might be a few years back, but that's okay. Let's see, roller coasters, like or dislike? You're kind of noisy with your like down there. Like or dislike? All of your responses, listen to me for a minute, all of your responses, though, were based on one thing. Most of us here have similar physical capabilities. Your responses were based on your spirit, okay? You don't like sushi simply because you don't like it. That's what you decided, right? You like or don't like reading a book because you decided at some point along, I enjoy sitting down for hours and hours and hours and flipping through pages and reading books. Or some of us are like, I can think of a lot better things to do with my time. That's your spirit. That's your attitude about whatever this particular thing is. We could take anyone. Roller coasters. Most of us here are capable to ride one. Some of us like it. Some of us don't like it. Okay? That's just your spirit about that particular thing. Bible says that we are to be fervent in spirit about serving the Lord. So take the water illustration and then take a person and apply that to it. A person is a person. Water is water. You are a living, breathing human being that's sitting in a church pew tonight. You are here as a person. Now, if I apply a fervent spirit, a spirit that is excited to you, what happens? You're going to be involved in what's going on here at this church. That's something that you decided. You're a completely capable human being sitting here breathing, but you've decided you want to be involved, and that's something that you're going to do. Teenagers want to be involved. That's something they're going to be equipped and want to do. Or you can say, you know what, I'm just not into this thing. I kind of come, I sit, I make it happen. We leave. That's good. We get to go home and do whatever else we were doing that we got interrupted with before we had to get in the car to come to church. What's different about the two things? You as a human are a human. This is water is water. You apply heat, it boils. You apply wind, it waves. You as a person, a good attitude, a fervent spirit, as the Bible says, you can do something for the Lord. Carelessness, you can't accomplish much of anything for the Lord. Person, same thing. Attitude, that's what matters. Fervent in spirit. Life is, I heard it said, life is 10% what happens and 90% your attitude or reaction to it. And that's absolutely right. You've been through some tough things. Sometimes you responded well. Sometimes you didn't respond well. 10% of that is what actually happened. 90% a lot of times is the result. You are not just a person taking up space, but you are a person with a spirit and with an attitude that gets to make a choice. Do you want to be involved? Do you want to be equipped to do what you need to do? Acts 18 tonight. Acts 18. Flip over there quickly tonight. Many of you are going to be familiar with this. Acts 18. Go to verse number 24. We're not going to get into the whole passage here and what's going on. We're going to read these verses quickly tonight, and then I will key in on just the last section here of verse 26. Acts 18, 24 and through 26 says this, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." If we look at that word expounded, we could have used that over there for an E, but we're going to instead have used the idea of equip, or to expound, to equip. That's a job that God has given me to do, and it's a job that I love to do. I've had opportunity many, many times throughout years of ministry to take people that didn't think that they could accomplish what lied ahead for them. Vacation Bible school drama, singing with a group, doing these things. Never thought, I'm not doing that. That was not me. That's nothing. And you get them done. And by the time it's done, the best thing, the most rewarding thing is that, you know what? I enjoy doing that. When you come back next year, can I do that again? I love that reaction. That's somebody getting involved. Didn't think that they could originally do that. You equip them, get them involved. And a lot of times it's just getting them to do it. Why did God save us? Well, that's kind of a shocking question. Why did God save us? Well, one of the biggest reasons, I believe, and there's lots of different answers that you could have to that, many of which would probably be right. Well, one of the biggest ones is because that he wanted us to serve him. He didn't send his son to die on the cross so we could sit and do nothing. I've heard the little simple phrase, you've probably heard it too. I think somebody somewhere along the line wrote a song about it, but it simply says, saved to serve. That's why, that's as I'm saved now, that should be my desire to serve, to be involved, and that should be our desire. Now, it's hard to serve if you're not equipped to do it. I asked the teens this, I'm going to ask you this as adults tonight, but as we equip young people and as we desire to help them reach out and become the person God wants them to do, I think a lot of times we have to ask some real-life questions and see if we have a real-life answer to it. Now, a lot of us, like we just said, have grown up in church. We're used to this whole church thing, right? We've got this figured out. We've been here for a lot of times. But a lot of times in our circles right in here, we don't come across a lot of things or challenging things that might face us. You might have been in this church for a long time, come here for many, many years, and never in this building had somebody walk up to you and ask, they never ask you to share with them the plan of salvation. I asked these many questions, and I'm just going to run through a bunch of these tonight. If I was an unsaved 14-year-old boy, and I came to you and said, tell me about how I can be saved from hell, would you be equipped to lead me to Christ? Would you be equipped to answer the simple question, which is a question we want people to ask, but once they ask, are we going to be in shell shock? Like, my pastor knows. I can get you to somebody that, okay. Let's try another one. If you were asked one day if you think it's wrong for two guys to have a relationship or get married, would you be equipped why in an answer? Do you think it's wrong? Do you think it's right? Why would you say what you're going to say besides what you heard somebody else say? If you find yourself being offered something that you know is wrong, do you have an answer? If you find yourself being drawn into a relationship that you know is ungodly, do you have a response? I was taught, and I've said this to the teens already, but I was taught by my grandpa. Many of you know Grandpa Merrill, and he used to get all... I thought about doing it tonight. I'm not going to make you do it. I probably should, but I'm not. He taught everybody. He'd get everybody standing up. Stomp your foot down. If you were offered something, you shouldn't take part of. If you were in a situation, somebody was trying to get you to do something you shouldn't do. He'd make everybody stand up, and I'll never forget it. I hope that you never forget it. If I made you stand up, you'd never forget it. It said, no, my body belongs to God. He'd have everybody stand, stomp your foot and say, no, my body belongs to God. And that should be our desire. Sometimes in some situations, we might not actually say that, and we might need to. But that should be our driving philosophy, our motivation for why we might get ourselves out of one of those situations. If you were asked to teach a class during VBS or be involved, would you be equipped and have the fortitude to give it your best shot? Imagine one day that you got married, and these were pointed towards teens. Imagine one day that you got married, and you and your spouse move away. You are going to a church, and the pastor asks you to be a church pianist or lead songs. Would you be willing to at least give it your best shot? Here's a simple phrase. You've heard it before. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I'm going to start a series here in a few weeks, just as the fall gets started. And we're going to actually do a thing, because lots of times we have questions. And I'm going to have them just on slips of paper. No one needs to know, and I won't even know. But what are some of the questions that you wonder about church? Some things that, like, why we do the things we do here, or why we don't do. Why we do or don't do the things we do or don't do as Christians. And answer those questions. I saw this done in an adult setting once, and it was extremely powerful when people got to ask questions and got to do that. So that's a series that we're going to start here, and that should lead us in a number of different directions. I'm excited about doing that. I've already got a number of things cooking for that, I guess we will say. Third E, and we're done tonight. The third E is engage. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. The last one is simple, serving the Lord. The last three words in verse number 11, serving the Lord. And I've got a whole passage here that we went through in Ephesians 5, 14 to 17. It says, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. And then it goes down and says, redeeming the time. I won't take time to go through this tonight, because it's actually a whole little message in itself. But we have a responsibility as Christians, whether we're 12 to 18 years old or whether we're 18 to, I won't pick an age on top, years old, we have a responsibility to awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See thou ye that walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We don't know how much time that we have left. It's my desire to take that, redeem, cash in on that time that I have, make the most of it. This could be the last VBS that this church ever holds. Could be. Let's do the most with the opportunity we have that lies right before us. If you don't get engaged, if you don't get involved in what's going on, I promise you, who said it? I heard somebody speaking recently. I don't know who it was. Might have been pastor, might have been this morning, might have been over at camp. But if you don't get involved, you will regret it. Nobody has ever said, man, when I was younger, I made a huge mistake. You know, I did. I served the Lord way too much, and I didn't have enough fun. You ever heard somebody say that ever? No. But how many people have said, if I knew then what I know now, wow, how I would have done things differently back then. You won't regret it. Get involved. Little simple phrase says, you snooze, you lose, right? You don't get involved, you lose. You're going to regret it. Three E's, energize, equip, engage. Time for us to take action. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I had opportunity about 3 weeks ago in one of our youth group meetings over, I think it was three Wednesday nights ago or four Wednesday nights ago, I prepped them on it, and I said, we're going to do a Bloom Creation Inflation. Some of you are like, what in the world is that? I have an opportunity through a lot of different ministries that we've been involved in to use balloon animals as an outreach, as a way to break the ice, to have a chance to share the gospel with people. Here is a picture of us, me there being crazy me. That's an embarrassing picture. Anyways, with four actually teenagers there. And you would think balloon animals are strictly for kids. I was gathering these pictures today, realizing that most of the pictures that have of balloon animals were actually with teenagers. This is at a outreach that our home church over in Ephrata, Pennsylvania did. Let me straighten things out. This is our home church now. But I used to always say that, because when we were traveling, that was our home church there. That can set you all at ease. We were doing that ministry with them, and we had a chance one year that we actually counted 5,200 balloons, about 3,500 tracks, a great outreach ministry. Anyways, had opportunity to do that. I said, what's a simple way that we can get guys get the teens involved? So one night over there, only imagine, some of you rode home with these. We blew up 35 balloons or whatever, had at it. I taught them and worked it through. They did a great job, jumped on board. You guys did awesome. Some of them turned out great. Some of them turned out close to great, and then there were the rest. But it was great. We worked them through some of those things. And then we had opportunity last, I think I got another picture there, that's down in Petersburg, West Virginia. You can see my sister Javonna and then Dad there. Those are, anybody know what the animal is the two girls are holding in the middle there? Penguin, very good. Thank you. Don't hurt my feelings. Penguin, very good. That's one of the most asked things when I get to making it, and then everybody starts asking for it. Here's what I had opportunity to do that, and then this last Wednesday night, we went out, and we went to Legion Park, and I asked, how many of you want to go do the balloons? Everyone else is going with Judy, pass out flyers. How many of you want to do the balloons? I think we had, Amy, how many did we have on our van? 7, 8, 9? Well, we had seat out, so 9, I guess. And we went to Legion Park, to Canal Basin Park, and then to Legion Park, and they had at it. We practiced quick, and they had at it, and they handed out track. It's great because you can stand there, start making a balloon, and kids start like, do these cost or these? No, these are absolutely free flyer. 20 kids gathered around, going at it. Teens are going at it. I was helping them from behind. I was trying not to do talking, trying to make it. I could do all that. Ethan back there did a great job. Corey, your picture's coming up in just a minute. They did a great job. Let's show you. Okay, there I am making a hat. There's Corey that made a hat for a boy. I think that was at Legion Park. Here is a lot of the youth. There's Ethan, shining moment there, bud, right in the front. I can't tell. I should zoom in and see what it is. And there's, I think, Mallory with a girl there. Had a lot of great opportunities and a lot of great connections. And here's the thing. I was thinking through this, and that was my desire for doing that. But I got them excited about it, first of all, and they got on board with it. We equipped them and taught them how to do just a few things. Now, some of them one thing, some of them zero things, and passed out flyers. You know who you are. Passed out flyers perfectly fine. Got them equipped to do it, and then we went out and got engaged. Now, here's the thing that spoke to me the most of that whole night. Lots of flyers, lots of things going out, right? It was 8 o'clock, and we're supposed to be back here by 8 o'clock, and we were still at Legion Park. And I said, guys, we got to roll. And they said, but wait, there's a whole group of kids over there. Why don't we go and make balloons for them, too, and pass out flyers to them? So I looked at who we had. I knew parents. I said, we'll text. We went over to that group, and we hit a whole bunch more, and they wanted to do that. And so that was a blessing, and that was exciting. Thankful for it. Just wanted to share that with you tonight. Lots of exciting things coming up, and I do... we'll tell you more about those, some things I want to do with parents coming up, but I will tell you more of those as we get some dates shored up. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, what? Question mark. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You see the 3E logo, maybe it'll make sense to you now. So that was my desire tonight. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be in your house tonight, Lord. Thank you for this time that we can share tonight about kind of our burden and what the philosophy and thinking is here, Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity tonight to share, Lord. I pray that you would help and be with each of us in a special way. I pray for the youth group and young people here and each of us, Lord, as we have an opportunity to get excited about what God's doing, to get equipped to do it, and then get engaged and get involved in what's going on. I pray for parents, Lord, of these youth, Lord, that they will be involved in this and be on board with what's going on. I also pray for support and encouragement of the adults and others here, that this might not directly apply to them, but Lord, I hope and I trust and I know, Lord, that they care about the ministries, the outreach of this church, and also the next generation, Lord, of this church and of your church, Lord. And I pray that you would just work in hearts and lives, help us all to be ready to serve you in the way that you want us to be, Lord. I know that a lot of times we're not super willing to get out of our comfort zones, Lord, but a lot of times you want us to. So help us to be willing, Lord, to do what you want us to do, to stick our neck out when it's time to stick our neck out, to get involved when it's time to get involved. Thank you, Lord, for your precious gift, Lord, as we sang earlier tonight, justified freely forever, Lord. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you that, Lord, that we can glorify you in our body and in our spirit because we know that these are God's because we were bought with a price, Lord. I thank you so much for that. In your precious name we pray all these things. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, tonight.